The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
You are listening to another episode of Get Paid. Today we're going to be talking about the coaching changes for the 2024-25 NFL season. We have some futures from BovadaSportsbook.com as well, as we look and see how some of those coaching changes have impacted lines for the next year's Super Bowl winner. Of all these, look, I think there's one slam dunk winner. I don't think it's a shock who's that going to be, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to count from 8 back to 1. Before I do that, though, I'm going to open the show with the Detroit Lions and Ben Johnson returning to the Detroit Lions. And let me say this. So when I was growing up, I was a Washington, then called Redskins fan. I guess that would make me kind of interested in the Commanders. But I'll be honest with you, Dan Snyder did such a great job of pushing me away from that franchise. I really don't care if they win or lose. I like the idea of rooting for somebody again, because the only thing I've been rooting for lately is my fantasy football team. And maybe my paycheck too when I'm betting on games. And so I like the idea of rooting for a team again. But Dan Snyder really did a great job extinguishing that joy and that love for a team. But I do watch them. I'm trying to get interested in Washington. And their pursuit of the Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, one of the hottest candidates of the year, was kind of amusing. But you know, I noticed this last year when he was going through the interview cycle, and I noticed it this year, and everybody just thinks, hey, Ben Johnson's a brilliant offensive mind, and he's been fantastic with Detroit, no doubt about that. But he's a quiet guy. Dan Campbell does kind of the leading of men type stuff. He's kind of a quiet guy. He's kind of a trusted assistant. And when I also look at Ben Johnson, I think a lot of his success has come because he has a number one overall pick quarterback, Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff had been to a Super Bowl with the Rams prior to him coming on board with the Detroit Lions. The organization has drafted extremely, extremely well. He's always able to run the ball. You know, him going to another team, it's not a slam dunk. And I don't think that Ben Johnson wants to take over a team that is maybe in disarray from a personnel point of view. And when has he ever taken the helm of a franchise, taken the helm of a rookie young quarterback and, you know, developed a rookie? He just strikes me more of that Gruden mold where they just want to work with veteran quarterbacks. They don't want to deal with rookie mistakes. They want a veteran. So when the Los Angeles Chargers ended up hiring Jim Harbaugh, I thought, you know what, Ben Johnson, I don't think he's a slam dunk anywhere. I mean, where was he going to go? He was going to go work with Ritter or a rookie in Atlanta. He's going to go work with Bryce Young or another rookie in Carolina. He's going to go work with what? With Geno Smith in Seattle? I mean, I could see that maybe. Geno Smith was probably the best veteran quarterback outside of course Justin Herbert in this crop of coaching. So I actually thought Ben Johnson, the dream fit for him this year was going to be the Las Vegas Raiders if he was able to convince the Raiders to also go sign Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury. That didn't happen. There's not a perfect job for him this year, so we went back, and he's going to have another good season with Detroit. And if he wants a job next year and there's one that suits his personnel desire, which I think includes a veteran quarterback who's shown an ability to play well, I think he'll take that job. He also has to have confidence in the organization, too. He didn't have a lot of confidence in Washington, as it has been reported. Ben Johnson, I'm on him. I don't think he would have worked everywhere. I don't think he was as big of a slam dunk as everybody else is. But I am excited to see wherever he lands, because I think that'll be an interesting fit wherever it is. Let me get to my list here. So we have 8 head coach changes, and I'm going to be digging into offensive systems as I move on throughout the year, but I'm going to count backwards in my ranking from number 8 to number 1. Number 8 on my list is the Las Vegas Raiders, basically giving interim head coach Antonio Pierce the head coaching responsibilities, and Antonio Pierce hired vacating Chicago Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy. Now, the Las Vegas Raiders are plus 8,500, according to Bovada, to win next year's Super Bowl. I think that's too high. I was actually surprised the odds are that good, is because as we move higher on this list of my rankings, we'll see other teams have much worse odds. Here's my deal on the Raiders. I think it was underwhelming. I think that the Raiders could have made a bigger splash. I think what Davis did there is he reacted to, before they hired McDaniels, first of all, he's expensive, so they're still paying the salary of McDaniels. So that had one, that's one factor in this whole thing, is they don't have a ton of money to be thrown around on coaches. When you look at what happened, they went on a run. They made the playoffs with their special teams coach, the guy, I can't remember his name, but he's now in Green Bay. And they went on that run, and the teams all said, including Derek Carr, hey, we want this guy. And Davis said, no, we're going to go with McDaniels, and it was a disaster. I think, this year they went on a little run. They showed some life, although I think the schedule was a lot easier towards the end of the year for the Raiders. I also think when they made the offensive system a little bit more simple, I think it was better for the Raiders. But, ultimately what ended up happening is I think Davis didn't want to do that again. So the players responded to the peers, so he did what the players wanted. Plus, he had the added ability, to basically keep the coaching salary low in that case, because, again, he's already paying McDaniels with him being fired. I'm underwhelmed by it. In that division, you have Harbaugh, you have Peyton, you have Reed. Pierce is a distant fourth place in that division. I just think they needed a better hire. The Raiders will have some juice, they'll have some life. They'll be like a 7-win team, but they're going to perpetually be a 7-win team. They'll probably beat all the bad teams on their schedule. They might have an upset here or there, but they're not really going to be a Super Bowl contender with Antonio Pierce. So he's definitely my number 8. Now I move to number 7, the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons. By the way, Bovada has them at plus 5,000 to win the Super Bowl. If I thought the Raiders had too good of odds, I think the Falcons are way, way out of whack. Look, they have nothing. I shouldn't say they have nothing, because they have Drake London. The offensive line's pretty reasonable. We know they can run the ball. Bijan Robinson, you would think, will be more used. I do like that that Raheem Morris brought in Zach Robinson, who was the passing game coordinator for the Rams. Everybody who comes up through that McVay system is good. Morris and Robinson have actually worked together because they were both Rams coaches, so I like that as well. It's not like he's just picking a random offensive coordinator he had never crossed paths with. So I do like that. And actually, as I talk about this, I might have even moved them a little bit higher in my rankings, but not too high. I do find Raheem Morris to be underwhelming. I do think that he's a better hire than Bill Belichick, however. So I think Atlanta, dodged a bullet on that one. But I'm not really enthused by Raheem Morris. A lot of it's going to depend on what Zach Robinson does with quarterback there. They need somebody else other than Ritter, and I don't think Justin Fields is the answer either, by the way. Number 6 on my list is the Seattle Seahawks. Offensive coordinator, Mike McDonald is the hire, vacating Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, defensive coordinator. Has done a great job. He worked for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. He worked for John Harbaugh in Baltimore. He's done well wherever he's been, so he's an excellent young coach, and I'm intrigued by him. He brought in offensive coordinator not Alex Van Pelt. He's in New England. He brought in, where's my notes, on the Washington offensive coordinator, University of Washington offensive coordinator, who I like a lot because the Washington Huskies did amazing this year. It's Nick Holes, but no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Who am I talking about, for crying out loud? It's coming off the rails. Seattle offensive coordinator. Ryan Grubb, University of Wisconsin. I still have to dig in, but what I do like is that Penix had an amazing year. That whole coaching staff did great. A little bit of an unknown entity, so I'm going to have to do a really deep dive, and I will be doing that before the next episode of the Fantasy Football Almanac show. And of course, I'm doing it for the Fantasy Football Almanac book. But I like that, and Seattle's going to be in a position where if they want to draft Penix, they're going to be able to, regardless of where they draft. They could draft him probably in the second round, but the quarterbacks tend to move up. So I like where Seattle's at. I'm intrigued by Mike McDonald, but these defensive coaches, the unknown entity, offensive coordinator. I don't know. I'm not entirely buying at this point. By the way, Bovada has Seattle at plus 6,500 to win the Super Bowl. I think that's reasonable, given that Seattle made the playoffs 2 years ago. They almost made the playoffs this season. And even if they go with Geno Smith, they have really good offensive personnel. And the defense, I think, will get better. The defense has been atrocious under Pete Carroll. So it was time for a change there for sure. I'm going to say tied for 5th/tied for 4th. So the next two teams here, the Tennessee Titans and the Washington Commanders. I'm underwhelmed by these choices. I have Tennessee. Usually I would give Tennessee because they hired an offensive coach in Brian Callahan. I would give them the nod, and Nick Holes, ex-Jacksonville passing game coordinator, is the offensive coordinator there. But this is going to be Brian Callahan's vision. Brian Callahan brought a lot to the table for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he did well. He worked very well with Zach Taylor over there, and he also did well kind of helping Joe Burrow, you know, ascend, although I think Burrow did a lot of that himself, if I'm being honest about it. Callahan, what's he really got to work with Tennessee? I'm not convinced they have the answer at quarterback like everybody else is. I mean, they can move forward with their young guys. That's fine. Levis is fine. I don't know that he's any better than Sam Howell was this year, but we'll see over the course of a season. Worst case, if he stinks, then they could draft a guy next year. But I would say if Tennessee's in a position to draft a quarterback, I think a quarterback will be in play. There's no loyalty there. You know, Levis is only a second-round pick anyway. So it's not like they invested a lot in him. It's not like Tennessee traded up to get him. Tennessee, by the way, Bavada has at plus 15,000 to win the Super Bowl. Those aren't good odds, everybody. Not good odds. Now, Washington, the reason I have them at basically tied for fifth, tied for fourth, the reason I have them a little bit, I guess they're a neck and neck, right, with Tennessee, is Dan Quinn's been to a Super Bowl. And I am of the mind that you should always hire an offensive coach to be your head coach when you're going through these cycles. There weren't really a lot this year around. Some teams were more aggressive with the offensive coaches, but when Ben Johnson pulled his name out of the hat, then, you know, there wasn't really a lot left. Really, it was kind of funny watching it. Really, Washington, the only choice they had left was Dan Quinn. There was nobody, there was no candidates left. So they ended up with Dan Quinn. But what I've always liked about Dan Quinn is he swings hard at offensive coordinator. He paired up the year that, he had Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator before Shanahan went to San Francisco to be their head coach. They went to the Super Bowl. It was Matt Ryan's absolute best year. And I think he did well. Now, when Shanahan left, he hired Steve Sarkisian. Sarkisian did not work out as well as Shanahan, but hey, I mean, you're going away from, you know, back then the best offensive coordinator in the league to a guy who's pretty talented. I mean, there was a stark difference there, but I don't think it was a bad hire. Now, you look at the offensive coordinator they brought in, Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury actually did a lot of good with Arizona. He had a quarterback that wasn't exactly dialed in and interested in learning the offensive system. As much as people may like Kyler Murray, he's not a study guy. Everybody knows that. And he was kind of aloof, in my opinion. I've never been really high on Kyler Murray as a guy that could take you all the way to the Super Bowl because, you know, he just doesn't put in the time to study. So you pair up a pretty good, smart, offensive-minded coach that can run. He's run a team before, so he can definitely run an offense. I think this is a really good pairing. I think Washington kind of lucked into it, to be honest with you. They could have been left with nothing, but hey, they ended up with Dan Quinn. They say that was one of their big guys all along. I wasn't loving some of the names that were thrown at offensive coordinator, but when Kingsbury was hired there, I thought, oh, okay, well, that is interesting. So I like Washington at fourth. By the way, Washington, according to Bavada, is plus 12,500 to win the Super Bowl. Not great odds. Not great odds. Let's see here. Number three now, my top three. I'm going to go with Jerod Mayo for the New England Patriots. The reason isn't so much Mayo. I mean, what I do like is that, Kraft there, he basically said, hey, yeah, Mayo is our next guy. It's obvious that Bill Belichick needed to get out of there or they needed to get him out of there. So now they have a new guy that they like, that they trust. It's a young coach. He brings some new energy, maybe some good vibes. Bill Belichick was all grump and all bad vibes. You know, Mayo being there, a fresh breath there, I think he could actually help that organization quite a bit. I do like that he brought in at offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt from the Cleveland Browns. Now, Van Pelt never has really run the offense. That's Kevin Stefanski's job in Cleveland. But, you know, we'll see what he does. Van Pelt, the next quarterback, you know, certainly has his own, ideas of how to run things. I think he could be successful. But I like this coaching staff better already than the vacating coaching staff last year. And the reason I ranked them third is because, I mean, they made the decision quickly. They knew who they were going to take. You know, I would have liked to seen an offensive coach, you know, anywhere, but not, you know, McDaniels. So if you're picking Mayo, I'm good with that as well. All right, so number two on my list here is the Carolina Panthers, and I like David Canales. Now, he's proven, obviously, as a coach. I think last year was the first year he was calling plays. But what I like about him is he reminds me of his come up, right? His background reminds me a lot of what we've seen from Sean Steichen, who's the head coach over with the Indianapolis Colts. Canales did a great job kind of taking over the quarterback, you know, coach type responsibilities for Geno Smith 2 years ago. Geno Smith had the best year of his career 2 years ago. Canales leaves and he takes over the play calling responsibilities for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, Geno Smith takes a little bit of a step back. Again, Sean Steichen was very similar with that with Justin Herbert and also with Jalen Hurts. Now, last year, Baker Mayfield, who'd been kind of a journeyman, you know what? Baker Mayfield had the best season of his career. And I think that Canales had a lot to do with that. I really liked his play calling. I liked his style. And I loved, by the way, that he also continued to commit to the run, even though the running game wasn't prolific, right? You see a lot of coaches in the NFL, they'll shy away. If they're getting 3.5 yards per carry, which is nothing to write home about, they'll just abandon the run game and throw bubble screens. But as Kyle Shanahan continues to prove, and Kevin Stefanski, these coaches that continue to run the ball, it's a different ball game when you commit to the run game in the fourth quarter. You know, I like to look at these types of teams, and I say, like, if they've physically worn down the opposing defensive line for like three quarters of football, and they're down by 7 points, even if they're down by 10 points, they have more than a puncher's chance. I think they're about even because they control the clock, and if they come down, they get that touchdown, all of a sudden you have a defensive line and a linebacker core. Their front seven can't stop the other team. So when you get over, you know, from Tampa Bay, which you couldn't really get the run game going, you go over to Carolina, they can actually run the ball. That's one of the things they can do. That's interesting. Also, I like that since he's had the ability to take Geno Smith and make him have his best year, and he's taken Baker Mayfield, make him have his best year, two guys that were considered first-round busts. Now you look at Bryce Young, maybe he'll be able to take a step forward next year as well. So I thought it was an interesting, good, aggressive swing from the Carolina Panthers. So I like him. Yeah, he brought in an offensive coordinator, Brad Idzik, also like a wide receivers coach, so he had some familiarity with him from Tampa Bay last year. But this is going to be Canales. I like what he's going to do I like the prospects of what he could do for the Carolina Panthers. So I thought it was a good swing. I think it was a strong swing. I had him as like a head coaching candidate next year. I didn't think he'd get a job this year, but you know, the dearth of offensive coordinators that were kind of rising and taking jobs. Like I said, there wasn't a lot behind Ben Johnson. I think Canales was the best of them, and he got a job. So congratulations to Carolina. I don't know that I would have taken the Carolina job personally if I had options, but you know, I don't know that a lot of people are knocking down Canales' door. So I like that one. By the way, Carolina Panthers, Bovada has at, where are you? You're at plus 25,000 to win the Super Bowl. If you're the Carolina Panthers, not good, not good. I believe that's worst in the NFL, and I think deservedly so. Okay, then we get to the number one pick. Like I said, I don't think this is a surprise. Los Angeles Chargers. There was only one mega coach out there. Harbaugh has won everywhere he's been. Now, he's a little bristly. He's a lot bristly, perhaps. And the bristle is why he didn't keep his job in San Francisco. It didn't have anything to do with his talent or his ability to get a team to win. It's that the GM just didn't really like him that much, and they got him out of town. He actually reunites with Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. Here's what I like about it. Do I think that Justin Herbert is going to go incredibly insane and throw for 6,000 yards and 70 touchdowns? No, they're not going to be that type of offense. The Chargers are going to run the ball. They're going to be a tough, run-focused team. Greg Roman's going to continue to instill that. We might see Justin Herbert even run a little bit more, use his legs a little bit more, although I don't think that's the intent. It's not like Greg Roman's going to try to do what he did with Lamar Jackson. Justin Herbert is the best arm talent that arguably that he's ever had, although depending on how you feel when Harbaugh had, you know, Andrew Luck at Stanford, maybe you feel that way. But by the way, even when Harbaugh was in Stanford with Luck, they still ran the ball a lot. So whoever the running back is for the Chargers, early nugget, it doesn't matter if it's a journeyman or whatever, that running back's going to have a lot of fantasy football value. I doubt that they're bringing Austin Eckler back in any way, shape, or form. He's kind of old at this point, I don't think Eckler even wants to go back. The early buzz is that Harbaugh at the top of his wish list is Saquon Barkley. I tend to think that won't happen. They'll find somebody, and that somebody will be good, but ultimately the Chargers, I think, are next year, they're going to be a lot better. They'll make the playoffs next year. In 2 years, they're challenging for a Super Bowl. I mean, this was a home run hire. And for Harbaugh, this is a home run job, having that infrastructure there. I think we're going to start to see them move some of their, you know, their veterans out. They have a lot of high-priced veterans. They have to make some changes because the cap position isn't great. But the Chargers, I'm telling you, they're going to make the playoffs next year. They're going to be hard out in the playoffs. In 2 years, they're challenging for a Super Bowl. This coaching staff knows how to get it done. So this only slam dunk hire, in my opinion, the Los Angeles Chargers, Harbaugh, goes to the Chargers, and he's going to be really good there. By the way, the Los Angeles Chargers, according to Bovada, plus 2,500 to win the Super Bowl. Those are pretty good odds. Those are pretty good odds. Like I said, I don't think it's next year. I think it's the year after that they're challenging for the Super Bowl. I think they've risen to the echelon of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Joe Burrow when he's healthy in the Cincinnati Bengals. Now I would add you know, the Chargers to that. You know, you always have the Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. I always think those guys in the playoffs take a little bit of a step back to the Mahomes and the Burrows of the world because they're more kind of like gamers in the playoffs. I think Herbert will get there. We'll see, though. Time will tell. Got a couple of years to be right or wrong about that. So there's a show, everybody. There's my rankings of the head coaching hires, the new coaches heading into the 2024-25 season. I'm going to also be detailing these in the book, The Fantasy Football Almanac. Check that out. Look at the show notes below. Subscribe to my website, thefantasyfootballalmanac.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, everyone. You want to get paid? Then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games. From the fantasy to the gambling, we the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast, got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed-up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.